Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Quality Hub, Chatting with ISO Experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Brian Smotko, consultant here at Core Business Solutions. So glad you could be with us today, Brian.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're really excited to hear what you have to say. Today's show is entitled Danger is My Middle Name, and we'll be talking about common risks associated with your quality management system and some ways to handle them. But first, let's learn a little bit more about Brian and his experience and journey. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Brian?
Sure. I started off, I spent 5 years in the Marine Corps. In the Marine Corps, I then went to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, where I worked for 20 years. I retired from there in occupational health and safety. When I retired from the prison, I then went back to school and became a CNC machinist, where I then became a CNC programmer, and then I worked my way into quality management and then operations manager, and then I ended up with Core.
Well, that's great, Brian. Thanks so much. First off, if you are a Core Business Solutions customer, we'll be using examples from the improvement plan, and you can find it in your resource library in our Core Compliance software. If you're not a Core subscriber, please reach out to us at info@thecoresolution.com and see how we can help you. So Brian, let's start off with our first question. How do you identify risks that your company might be facing, both internal and external?
Well, X, the 2015 version of ISO 9001 emphasizes risk-based thinking in 0.3.3. Most companies don't address risk until something has happened. Risk impacts every facet of a business, and in most cases will affect your customers. Core has identified some pre-populated internal and external risks to a business I like to call the risk matrix. Okay. And it could also be based on experience of that particular organization as well.
Well, what are some of those internal and external risks that we've identified in our improvement plan?
Well, some of the internal risks may be quality performance, increasing costs, sales and marketing processes, technology needs, and an aging workforce, or even a succession planning. Some external risks may be industry trends, competition, employment market, or legal or regulatory compliance.
So internal is going to be something that is within your business that you can control, probably a little bit easier than some of the external ones, perhaps.
Absolutely.
You don't know what the regulatory might come down from some governmental department. You know, we're from the government and we're here to help you. But you can do some of the internal ones you have a little bit more control over.
Absolutely.
So what do you recommend our customers do when trying to, you know, they've determined what the internal and external risks might be. What's the next step?
We recommend that our customers go through a risk analysis and identify specific risks and how they can impact your specific company so that you can make a more proactive approach rather than a reactive approach.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that 9001 wants you to do, be a little more proactive than reactive. So kind of plan what you might have going in. Once you've identified those risks that your company is facing, what process can you use to prioritize these risks?
Well, it makes sense to prioritize the risks you mitigate because you cannot work on all of it.
It's difficult. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
The risk assessment or improvement plan allows you to first identify the risk and then score it. We score it through using impact, likelihood, which gives us an overall risk level. And we take that overall risk level to identify which risks are the most impactful to our company. We then take that risk level and we identify the options of what we have available. For example, we would identify the risk concern for that particular risk. We would identify how it affects our company and list out the issues that it could potentially cause for us.
So let's say aging workforce. You would list out, well, if we have somebody get sick, we might have a key member out that
Absolutely.
Is in control of a lot of things. Or maybe if you're machining, somebody who only knows how to run a certain lathe or a certain piece of machinery. So that would be that concern.
Absolutely. Aging workforce, you would want to put some type of plan together to identify, first identify the risk. And then once you put the plan together of what you're going to mitigate that risk or at least lessen the severity to your company, you may want to go out and start a proactive approach to start recruitment, to get in some new recruits for the kind of positions that you're looking to fill, or even maybe partner with a school or some type of trade school that can fill in some of those positions.
Right. So the concern would be there for aging, though, is that, you know, here's what might happen if we lost somebody.
Absolutely correct.
So you've done that. You said you can score your risks.
Most commonly, you can score your risks by what the impact is to the business. We scored 0 to 3 on the form, but you could do it 0 to 3 or 0 to 5. Then by scoring the likeliness that it can happen to your business, 0 to 3 or 0 to 5, then you multiply those two numbers to give you an overall risk level to your company.
So you're really prioritizing the risks and determining what you should focus on.
Absolutely. There's got to be some methodology to prioritizing your risks, because at the end of the day, like we said before, you can't address everything at once.
Right.
a company only has a certain amount of resources, and you want to apply those resources to the most impactful risks to begin with, and then work your way down through the risk.
Okay, so we've looked at our risks, its impact, its likelihood, and we determine that risk level that we just talked about, and then you prioritize them.
Once you score your risk, then you're going to determine whether you need to accept or address the risk, because there are some risks out there. For example, in external issues, supply chain could be a risk to a lot of companies now, out there nowadays. But from the internal aspects of your company, what kind of effect can I have on supply chain outside of my business?
Right.
So in those kinds of situations, you would maybe look to accept that risk and then put together a justification of what you do internally to deal with that risk. Maybe you maximize the use of your supplies, or maybe you are looking for a second vendor instead of having a sole source vendor, so you have some options when it comes to what you're looking for.
So let's say you have 20 risks and you've prioritized them and you determine there's five you want to deal with. What are some of your response options once you've scored your risk?
Once you score your risks, it will then help you determine which one of those to focus on. Begin to list the actions that need to take place in order to help you with the proactive approach.
So you're really planning out what your response is.
You're absolutely planning out what you're doing. Those actions are essentially an improvement plan. Your quality policy, or QMS, states that your commitment to continuous improvement, and the best way to show evidence that you're committed to continuous improvement, is to document your actions. Be sure to include owners who are accountable to address the risks and estimated due dates. A good plan has those variables. However, no regulatory body is going to tell you what your priorities are, but it's very important to have all of the things you're working on to improve your business in writing.
So you basically need to document it, and that's something that is required by the standard, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Could you give us some examples of maybe an action you would be addressing a risk? I know you talked a little bit about supply chain, and you talked about an aging workforce. Is there another example that maybe you can take us through that's an internal one and an external one?
Sure. Well, let's say training needs for an internal risk.
Okay.
So in training needs, when you identify as a company that you have some training issues that could cause risk for your company, the first thing you want to do is you're going to want to put together a plan of how you're going to affect that risk.
Okay.
So the first thing you do is you develop some actions. You would want to put together a plan of actions of what you're going to do as a company, whether to affect or reduce that risk. And then you're going to assign an owner. You're going to want somebody to be responsible. You know, Eisenhower once said the buck stops here, and that kind of flows through to everybody's business nowadays. You really want one person that you can go to get some answers for that.
Okay.
And then you're going to apply the urgency. What's the urgency of this risk? So, you know, if you're talking succession planning or recruiting, it could be one urgent, but training needs could be another urgency, right? You may need to get your workforce trained up quickly.
And let's say you're dealing with a succession plan and you're trying to get somebody hired that might be something like an apprentice or something, but they need to be trained up on all of that stuff. So they might go hand in hand.
Absolutely. They will most definitely go hand in hand. A lot of these internal issues, and even some external issues, as companies review them, they'll see that they all play into each other. You know, you could be talking about an aging workforce and recruiting at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? Because those risks may go hand in hand, that you have identified that the workforce you currently have, you want to at least supplement some newer workforce in there so you can pass on that knowledge so that, you know, if one person were to leave the company, that knowledge doesn't get passed away.
Right. What about some external ones? You said that you can only do so much, but what might be a good example of what you could do for
work? Well, let's say economic concerns for your company, right? Mm-hmm. Big risk for now, especially in this market of how the economy is. So you would want to put a plan together. You might want to address that risk and put some actions together to perhaps expand your employment market. Where am I looking for my candidates? How am I filling my positions? Where do I look for? Maybe I used to only use the newspaper, but now because of the day and age, maybe cyber is a lot better to do some recruiting. There's a lot of internet sites out there that can provide, you know, opportunities for improvement as far as employment goes.
Maybe where you're looking too, if you're not, clearly, if you're a manufacturer, you might have to have someone local. But if you're in a service organization, you might be able to have somebody more remote.
Absolutely. And I think that when companies broaden their look at the risks that they face, they realize that there's more options available to reduce them than maybe they once initially thought.
Okay. That totally makes sense. Well, this is a ton of great information, and it can really make a difference in your business as well as your quality management system. Now, clearly, you've explained that you've had a lot of experience. Do you have any stories or an example of working with a company who's done a really good job of managing and mitigating their risks?
Absolutely. I work with a company out in California, and when we first started working together, they've never even heard of a risk analysis or even identifying risk that affects their company. They didn't look at their approach towards their business through a risk-based approach like ISO would like it to do.
Well, that then so they're right at the beginning.
Absolutely.
They're
right.
They're probably doing it some manner, but they're not doing it formally and not really.
Well, I think almost every company does some form of risk analysis. You just may not document it or realize that's actually what you're doing.
Or so, it might be reactive where, oh, we don't have anybody who can run this machine and knows how to do it.
Absolutely.
So now you're not being proactive, you're being reactive.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it with companies before we get there are reactive because they don't have a plan in place or haven't identified the current risks that they face. So this company, when we went through the risk matrix, it was an eye-opening experience for them. They realized that there's a lot of areas that can affect their business that they thought they were in total control of. But at the end of the day, they realized that they need to start putting some plans together to start at least mitigating and reducing the risks that their companies were facing.
Well, that's good. What was the end result?
The end result was by the time we finished up for the improvement plan, they've put in action some areas of their business that have made great strides in reducing, in some cases, eliminating the risk. For example, single source suppliers, the biggest issue they faced was they only had single suppliers for a good portion of the product that they were working with.
Wow. So that's definitely a big risk because if you don't get something, you can't do what you need to do.
Absolutely. And you know, ISO, the standard itself lends to customer satisfaction, ensuring that you provide a quality product or a quality service to your customer. It's those issues that can affect that service that you provide to those customers. And so therefore, ISO wants you to reach out and identify them prior to, and like this company did, once they've realized and put down on paper the things that were facing their company, they were able to then put plans in action that could and made change almost immediately.
That's great. That's great. Did they see a better bottom line or?
They've increased a bottom line and they've also increased business. And through their eyes now, they're going on a year in certification and their business has almost doubled in size.
Wow. Wow. That's great. That's amazing. Well, I really appreciate you being here, Brian, and sharing your experience. This is a lot for people to think about when it comes to how to handle risks and really getting in front of them instead of just being reactive to when they might come up. Really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it and enjoyed being here.
Awesome. We want to thank you for listening to our podcast today. We hope it's been informative for you. And again, if you're a Core Business Solutions customer, you can find the improvement plan in Core in the resource library. And if you're not a customer and you're interested in how we can help you, please email us at info@thecoresolution.com or visit our website at www.thecoresolution.com. And lastly, if you haven't already followed us on your favorite podcast platform, be sure to do so you won't miss one episode of The Quality Hub. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.